This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, yes! Brewers, yes! and Bucks, yes! every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download the Wendy's app today.
It is time again. Kick off the 4 o'clock hour. Time for our Green and Gold update brought to you by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Being joined now, and we are late, and I apologize. He is Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Doing well, Sparky. How about you today?
Good. We had a chance to be up there at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida Street doing our shows on Thursday and Friday, and I had a chance to walk over there and be a part of that whole thing. What was your takeaway from living up there, what y'all anticipated happening versus what did happen?
You know, I thought it was going to really overwhelm the city, and it didn't. I live on the east side. The stadium's on the west side. If you went directly across the river, it's a straight shot from my house to Lambeau, but there's, the bridges you have to go farther up or down. But the east side of town, living daily life, I had to run errands both Thursday and Friday. You wouldn't have known that the draft was in town other than signs that were around. It wasn't like there was a ton of traffic. And over there, I thought it was going to be a nightmare getting to and from the stadium, and it was fine. It was, it was comparable to a game day, but even probably not quite as bad as a game day. And game days are good because they've got it down to a science. But there was a nice buzz in the air, and when you got to the stadium, it did have a game day atmosphere around the stadium. The same smells, the same, the brats and everything, and you could see people. There was a ton of people walking around, and it was really festive. I thought it was going to overwhelm the city, and it didn't.
Is it one and done, do you think, Pete? I've said it's one and done, but it went really well. I just wonder if they would consider it again.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't. I don't know how this works. I haven't asked anybody. I haven't, Rich Ryman handles that stuff for the Press Gazette, the business side of things. I haven't talked to anybody from the Packers, like Mark Murphy, about this, but it was, everything I've heard and read is it was really well organized. It was better organized than Detroit, for instance, and Detroit was good, but this sounds like this was better. And if they'd start doing a rotation, like they do with the Super Bowl, let's say they get like 10 cities or so, if Green Bay wants to do it, I don't know why they wouldn't give it to them. I think it went off great. It's great advertising for the league to have that at Lambeau. They got a lot of people there, way more than I would have guessed. I mean, I know it wasn't 600,000 unique visitors, but they still had a lot of people coming and going. So I don't know why, if Green Bay was, and the Packers and the city were willing to do it, I don't know why the league wouldn't. It came off really well.
Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, joins us. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Your cohort and I, Ryan Wood, got into it on Thursday. He was with me at Buffalo Wild Wings. About this whole idea of giving Mark Murphy a going away present and drafting a wide receiver for him. And that is exactly what happened. And I know Brian Gutekunst said he hadn't really thought about it when it was all going on and so forth. And that very well may be true. But that whole moment to be him after he was the one that kind of got this thing here, he's the one that kind of helped get the Titletown District built up and everything else. And then to be looking out over 200,000 people and being able to pick when you want them to have their pops of emotion and going crazy like he did around that pick. I wasn't even the one doing it. I had goosebumps watching it when he was doing it. I can't even imagine the emotions flowing through him as he was doing it.
Yeah, he looked pretty excited and pretty happy, didn't he? I think, you know, part of it was just his sense of relief and happiness that, you know, things were going, I'm sure they even by then knew, hey, we can handle this size crowd. It's not an issue. Everything's going good. You know, if there are going to be any problems, it was going to be, you know, that first day. And by the time they picked, the day was almost over. So I'm sure part of it was that. And he did look really excited to make that announcement. And, you know, I don't, when you and Ryan were talking, was one of you arguing receiver yes and receiver no?
Well, yeah, I brought up the whole Travis Hunter thing, whatever, and going up and giving up assets and so forth and trying to get a wide receiver, and we were going back and forth. And, you know, his point is a standard organization line. You can't be trying to help out Mark Murphy. It's got to be what's in the best interest of the organization, not pleasing the fans and not pleasing, you know, the guy that's retiring and blah, blah, blah. And back and forth we went. So when they made that pick, I was smiling from ear to ear when they made that pick of Matthew Golden. I don't know who Matthew Golden ends up being one way or the other. I will say that I don't believe he is the number one wide receiver in that room when Christian Watson is healthy. Maybe he's two or something along those lines, but I still don't think they have that one from a talent perspective that's better than what they already have in Watson when healthy.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I've always been in the camp that you know, I think Watson is a super talented guy. He's a really bright guy, and he wants to be good. Now, we're getting to the point where there's real good reason to wonder whether he has a body that just won't hold up to the NFL. He just, it's not looking good. It's not over for him yet, but, you know, bad, you know, three tough years so far. Golden, I don't know for sure. We'll have to see him playing in the NFL. You know, a couple of the scouts I talked to thought he didn't play quite as fast as he timed. The thing that makes me wonder if maybe he can end up being a one is because the Packers thought he had the best hands to draft, or his hands are as good as anybody. So if that's the case and he's got this speed and if he becomes a really good route runner, you know, having hands like that would make a difference. I don't know if he can be a one or not. Maybe it'll be, you know, could he be Greg Jennings? I think Greg Jennings was a one. So if he could be even Greg Jennings, Jennings was no bigger than him. So, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't, you know, I mean, what are the chances Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase? I mean, that's not happening probably, but, you know, a receiver in the Jennings, Jordy Nelson caliber, different players, but of that caliber, I think that's a legit one. And, you know, I am really curious to see how Watson pans out because, like I said, I'm with you. I think there's a ton of ability in that guy.
Time with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fancy. Sparky Pfeiffer with you. We were speculating after they brought Banks in from San Francisco to be the starting guard that may be the beginning of the transition of this offensive line, that they may try to go Philadelphia way of things where they were the heaviest line. They really put all their efforts into making it a gigantic line that could impose their will and run block for Saquon Barkley and take some pressure off of Jalen Hurts. Obviously it worked and got him a Super Bowl. And then you come back and you take a massive offensive lineman in Belton there in the second round. And he reminds people of Mekhi Becton, who ended up playing guard after playing tackle for a little while. And you just wonder whether or not those two guys, between him and Banks, are going to be the starting guard for years to come right now. Two massive human beings with a massive Elgton Jenkins at center.
Yeah, you know, they obviously really, really wanted to firm up the inside of that line. I'm sure the Philly game was part of that. But even those last three games, you know, their offense kind of tanked those last three games. I'm guessing this guy won't be a starter next year. You never know. I mean, sometimes these picks come in and they look, oh yeah, this guy can play, you know, and maybe he'll fight for the starting right guard job. You know, they'll probably give him a shot at it. But even if he doesn't, you know, you would think next year he'll be a starter. So yeah, I think you're onto something. The one thing I was, you know, once when they made the signed Banks in the off season, and they were making the move, it was like, yeah, they're, you know, they're going to run the ball even a little more. They're going to be even a little more run-oriented than they were last year. And I was thinking that's what's going on here. But then when they draft two receivers in the top three, and the second guy, Williams, being a guy who, even if he's raw, which he is, you know, he's somebody that can line up in the backfield, that can throw bubble screens. I was thinking the guy they signed for to be the jet sweep guy in the offseason. Why am I blanking on his name, Sparky? the return guy.
Savion.
The former first-round pick that they signed from the Chiefs. McCole Hardman. Yeah, I was thinking, maybe he'd be doing some of the jet sweep stuff. Now I'm thinking, no, it's going to be Savion Williams who's doing this, and he's going to get on the field some. And drafting two of those receivers in the first three rounds, maybe they're not going to be quite the totally run-oriented team that I was thinking they were going to be a week ago.
What does that say about Jordan Love, I guess, is my thing in all of this, that let's say they do end up, getting the running backs, let's say they get them 35, 36 carries a game, and Jordan Love really is only throwing the ball 25 to 30 times a game. Because couldn't you look at it and say, why in the world did you pay Jordan Love all that money if you don't trust him to throw the ball and wing it around like you did Aaron Rodgers and you did Brett Favre?
I think if you look at the games, like even you go back, I have to think about Rodgers, but you go back to Favre, I think even with Rodgers too, the games where they were at their best, I don't think they were airing it out ridiculously. It was just that when they did, they were really good at it.
Right.
And if you can run, you help your quarterback a lot. Gutekunst talked about wanting to be a team that could win either way, depending on what you needed on that given day. But the drafting the two receivers makes me think now they want to throw it with this guy. And, I was just thinking about this morning. Wolf, after he retired, he consistently has said one of his biggest regrets was not getting Favre more weapons. And, Gutekunst was on the staff then. He was an area scout back then. And I wonder if he's taking that to heart too, and he's going to make sure that they don't get caught shorthanded at receiver. And they've always got playmakers to help get the most out of them. And, the chances of Jordan Love being Brett Favre, a Hall of Famer, that's asking for a lot. I don't know if that's going to happen. But you just get the feeling he's not going to get caught short on weapons if he can do anything about it.
Is he going to be caught short on cornerbacks? You didn't draft one until the seventh round, unless this is saying that Jair Alexander is back. But I can't seem to find anybody that thinks that he's definitely back at this point.
No, I can't imagine that he's back. That would be absolutely stunning. He could get caught short at corner. And, the pass rush could end up being, a problem this year. Those are possibilities for sure. Every time when you use a pick and you use it on a position, that means there's a bunch of positions you didn't use it on. And they waited till the fourth round, fourth and fifth to draft rushers, and seventh round for a corner. So, they very well could get caught short. Now you never know who they might sign in the next few weeks. I think they didn't sign Devondre Campbell till a couple weeks after the draft, if I remember right. Not that doesn't happen every year, right? That's a pretty rare thing.
Sure.
But you never know who they might add in the next month, or even up until training camp. So, if I'm them, I'm concerned about corner, and I'm concerned about having enough pass rush.
Are you as sold on Keyshawn Nixon as they apparently are?
If he's your best corner, I think you're not. If you got a weakness at corner, if he's your second best, you're probably okay. So, I still think they need. They play in a division. They got a ton. They got a lot of good receivers in that division. There's some great receivers in this league too. I still think they need to upgrade the talent at that position. They need to get a guy who's just super talented. That's why I wondered if Harrison, the Kentucky corner, would be their guy in the first round, because there's a lot of talent in that guy. And they're losing a really talented guy in Alexander. So I still think they need to upgrade that position, just the physical talent there. But they're probably okay, though. But I think you're exactly right, though, that they're, maybe they can handle one injury because of Bullard. They can keep him in the slot and get Valentine out there, but two injuries in the second inning. Those guys get hurt a lot. Two injuries, and I think they got real problems.
It's on with Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. So what is next now for you, Pete Doherty, that the draft is wrapped up? Do you get a little bit of a break here, or what's next?
Yeah, things slow down. I'm doing a mailbag chat with fans this week, and things slow down for the next few weeks. There'll be some OTA. There'll be an OTA open once a week for 3 weeks during that period in late May and June. And yeah, but the football work part of it slows down for a little while here. I don't know if things, they probably don't slow down for you. You got the playoffs and baseball and all
playoffs
that.
But, yeah, playoffs are done tomorrow, Pete. So don't
worry. It does not look good for the Milwaukee Bucks, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, I just had an idea while you were talking. You should have like the question of the mailbag that you do, right? And then you should keep a running tally of what part of the state is the smartest, based on who wins every mailbag, and keep a running tally, like central Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin, northeast Wisconsin, and kind of throw the gauntlet and the challenge out there to come up with better questions than everybody else.
Well, the problem is they come from all over. They're all over the country, and even I get some from Europe and Japan sometimes.
Really?
And I ask the people to put where they're from, or I say, you know, feel free to, but only a handful of them do. I would say only about 10% or 15% put where they're from. Most of them just put their name. So I'll have to retrain all the mailers to get them to get them to put that in. So, no, I can't answer your question there.
Dang. All right, there he is, Pete Doherty. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Green Bay Press Gazette. Be a part of his mailbag. And then just put in there, fan listener, we are the smartest. And then there will be no debate. Pete, thank you so much.
All right, Sparky. Thanks for having me.